The Greeks have the Titans. The Hopi have Spider Grandmother. We have John Murray. He is our creation myth. The story you heard during the time for all ages is lovely. The winds of fortune blew and the ship ran aground and Murray met Potter. The spirit moved and universalism was brought to America. It is an amazing retelling of events, but when I hear it, I find myself in doubt over how perfect it is. It is a fairy tale. We learned a thing or two this week about truth. It is often far less pretty than we want it to be. We learned that the actual story is a lot harder to hear, a lot more painful. In gussying up the story of John Murray, we leave out how disgusting Murray must have been, how crazed Potter must have seemed. In my mind's eye, I think of Murray's story more like this, told from the second person, so settle in and find yourself. You have been on the ship for 6 weeks. Your once new clothing is ragged and browned from sweat and grime. You were seasick that first week, so there's vomit too. Your eyebrows are crusted with salt, and your feet no longer fit in your shoes. They are so swollen. The weeks have been long, but honestly, anything is better than the life you were leaving. Grief has left you hollow and purposeless. You don't recognize yourself. Your time in debtor's prison has been humiliating, and you are angry. Angry that your family is gone, angry that no one understands your theology, angry that nothing seems to be getting better. The miserable journey seemed fitting for how miserable you are. It is almost comical how completely uninspiring life had become, how wrong life seemed to be going. So you almost laughed when the ship ran aground. Of course, why would anything be different? Life would continue here in America just as it had back in England, one painful trial after another. When the opportunity to go to shore presented itself, you said yes. A lightened ship might be lifted with a higher tide, so you accompanied the small sloop, sloshing about in the big waves as you tacked and jibed towards the beach. As the sand came into view, you heaved your stinking mass over the gunwale and waded the rest of the way. Your legs almost gave out at steady land. It had been a long time, and the earth still felt as if it was undulating. You wandered into the woods just off the beach and stumbled upon a clearing, and then he appeared. A strange man whose warmth felt out of sync with the rest of your life, Thomas Potter. He threw open his arms and said, "I have been waiting for you." He showed you the chapel, built with his own hands, logs he felled and hewed himself, notched and fitted tight with moss crammed between the rounded limbs. He was a farmer, not a very successful one. His insistence that you were the one was a little off-putting. He seemed unbalanced, but you couldn't deny him. He needed a reverend to preach a gospel of universal salvation. You believed in universal salvation. He needed a reverend who preached that God's love was available to all. You preach that God's love was available to all. His pulpit was empty. You decided to fill it. This version, the one with vomit and legs of jelly and harrowing grief and surprise encounters and an exquisite chapel, this is the version I want us to work with today. This is the version I fashioned so that we might see the story of John Murray as one that holds universal truths about our particular lives. This version I've just told, it's still a myth, but myths belong to communities, not to authors. So let's make it work for us. Many of us can place ourselves at the beginning of Murray's story. knowing all too intimately the humiliation of financial failure, of dwindling account balances and mounting debt. Some of us are familiar with what it is to drown in grief, for the center of our lives to give out with the passing of a partner, of a parent, of a sibling. Some of us can easily recall the sharp agony of being disappointed in how life has unfolded, in being all too sure that nothing will improve, that romance is for the naive, uplifting songs are for saps. But some of us are at the end of his story. We find that we have reached the clearing and the sun shines on us. The children we raised call to tell us that they are happy, they are in love, they have found their footing. The cat we nursed back to health wants to play all day long. The new job is turning out to be even better than we had hoped. Our hearts swell when we sing hymns and we find ourselves laughing uproariously at the cheesiest of sitcoms. In this sense, this is the universalism of Murray's story, the fact that he lived a real life, a life that was both miserable and joyful, painful and celebratory, a disappointment and a revelation. Murray's story is the story of a capital U universalism, but it is also the story of the universal, of the way life changes in a glance, and suddenly we are no longer in the woods, but in a clearing. We are no longer in our homeland, but in the middle of an ocean, and we can't see shoreline on the horizon. Suddenly we look up and realize nothing has gone as planned, and we aren't sure how to get it back on track. In this sanctuary, among this community, there are those in debtor's prison. There are those on the roiling open ocean. There are those just arriving to dry land. And there are those faced with a life-affirming opportunity. The only constant is change, says Octavia Butler. The myth of John Murray is a testament to this truth. Life is dynamic. It is movement. It is change. So what will we do with this one precious, ever-changing life? The other universalism of John Murray, the one with the capital U, is the one that proclaims we are all destined to be saved. We all end up in the same place at the end of our days, no favored or predestined or elect. This truth, what does it do for us now? Do we accept that change is constant and surrender to it, release all claims to control and passively await our fate? Or do we find the magic in the change, find the majestic spark which tells us that change means we are alive? Tennyson wrote, "One equal temper of heroic hearts made weak by time and fate, but strong in will. To strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Strong in will, to find and not to yield." As Unitarian Universalists, we are called to live this life without yielding. When it gets messy, we dig deeper. We nurture connection. We grow our souls. We do not yield, but in the tradition of John Murray, we trudge onward, knowing that to be alive is the blessing, and the messiness is part of it, and the choices that we make in this life, they matter. And so we gather here on John Murray Sunday to fortify ourselves for the choices we must make. And what or who guided Murray's choices? Do we see Murray as urged by something greater, something which conspired to get him out of the prison cell, onto the gangplank, across the Atlantic, into the dinghy, onto the shore, into the path of Thomas Potter and the pulpit? Do we choose to believe that something providential intervened on Murray's behalf, which kept the opportunities coming, which made the river of time flow faster towards his destiny? Are we comforted by the notion that something providential might intervene on our behalf someday? Or do we see it as something that was within Murray, that small voice that belonged only to him, the mind which conjured the dream and arranged the ticket, which packed the trunk, the self-determination which brought him to the threshold of Potter's Chapel? Are we comforted here by the notion that we too possess that small voice and courage of conviction? Either way, we are saved. Either way, by providence or personhood, we can rest assured that good things await us. Either way, we refuse to yield to the pain of life and instead are called to dig deeper, to push on to the next chapter. This is also the majesty of universalism. We are intended for good things. I cannot believe that I get the good fortune to stand before you and tell you that no matter what you do, no matter what is done to you, you are not damned. You are not forsaken. Like Oprah, I want to cry out and point to each of you in every row, you are saved, and you are saved. You are saved, and you are saved. But the truth is, we need to hear it, especially now, especially this week. We are created to be happy, to be whole, to be a gift to someone somewhere. No matter where you are on Murray's journey, whether it be the jail cell or crawling on the shore, there awaits for you a chapel built for your presence alone. We are destined to live this story again and again, and as time passes, our hearts will be made weak by time and fate, but we will not yield. We urge one another on, we urge ourselves on, knowing the salvific love of universalism means this life matters, our choices matter, and good things await us on the shores of new worlds. Amen.